You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM HD, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and on the web at kfai.org. For the next 60 minutes, you'll be hearing The Wave Project, KFAI's weekly community access hour. If you'd like to produce your own one-hour radio program, information on applying can be found at kfai.org/waveproject. The views expressed on this program are those of the persons expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Fresh Air's Incorporated Board of Directors, volunteers, or staff.
And welcome, everyone, this beautiful Sunday morning to our debut show, which is Sunday Songwriter Showcase, or as I said the other day, I said Sunday Shays Songwriter Cafe with Cher Dial. But anyways, this is our new series, and we're going to be highlighting the wonderful songwriters in this town. And, you know, I was thinking about it. There's a lot of songwriters' nights in the cities, but not everybody gets to go out and hear them and see people. So I think this is a great way to showcase the wonderful talent that we have here in Minneapolis. And, of course, I'm with my partner in crime, my producer, Pam. She's always a delight to have here. And we have our two special guests for our first show, and that is Courtney Yasmine. And hello, how are you?
Hey. Great.
Thank you so much again for coming. And we have Joe Carey.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, my God. And it is a beautiful, actually cold morning here in Minneapolis. And I wanted to say, Courtney, we really appreciate you here because you're always the first on all my first shows. And so you're kind of our good luck charm here.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah, right? Okay. And so we do always, always appreciate you here. So we're going to kind of dive into the songwriting techniques, because I know both of you musically are a little bit different, and I'm sure your processing is different. And so it'll be interesting to see who your influences were, and also, you know, what it takes to go into a song, because I think a lot of people, you know, they'll hear a song on the radio, but they don't know what goes into it. So I think it'll be, you know, really interesting. You know, Courtney, don't you think that's
absolutely
what it goes into?
Yeah, I think it's, I think people have really different stories about how they write songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
You sort of think everyone's going to say the same thing, but they don't at all. They approach it, it's like your personality and your sort of learning style affects, I think, how you approach making something. And so it can be really different.
Has either one of yours, techniques changed over the years?
Mine changes monthly or weekly.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How so? Does it?
There's so many different processes, I guess. This is going to be pretty convoluted.
Okay.
But for me, I guess what happens most is I'll get a melody or a tune in my head that just I can't shake, you know?
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, and then you get the phone out and get to go to voice memos and hum it on there so you don't forget it.
Oh, right.
And then you avoid working on it for the longest time.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you kind of go through, oh, yeah, there was that one voice memo, and that's kind of the launching point. But then for other songs, it's a lyric, you know, or just one phrase, and then I'll write the whole song around that one phrase.
Yeah, it's just something that kind of pops in your head.
So there's different, for me, the process changes for each song, but.
What about you, Courtney?
Well, I would say, here's the thing off the top of my head is that I did one album where I kept sending the things I recorded on my phone to the producer I was working with. And so I ended up sending him 30 things that I thought were going to be the new, potentially the songs to pick from to record. And I remember that this was maybe two albums ago, so maybe this was like 10 years ago. I remember that at one point he commented, "I can hear your dog's tags jingling in every single one."
Oh, no.
So it meant, no, it was good. It meant that I was making up all the songs while I was walking the dog.
Oh, sure.
That's what it meant.
But really, what's wrong with that? Because
it was awesome.
Yeah, right. Because really, when a song comes to you, no matter where you are, is really what matters.
Yeah. So I was always walking the dog and then thinking up a song.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing I would just say about that is that I probably still sort of do it that way. Like a song idea to me is always the words and the melody, but it might only be like one line that I can remember that I think, that's the line.
Right.
But then I can never, it's very hard for me to decide if that's the opening line of the song or if that's the main
or the chorus,
line of the chorus. And sometimes I hang back in fear, don't finish the song because I'm thinking, I'm going to wreck it. And it was such a good line.
Oh, right.
But I'm going to put it at the beginning of the song and it's supposed to be for the chorus. Or I'm going to wreck it somehow. And then I just don't work on it at all because I'm so afraid I'm going to wreck it.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys ever get stuck on, like, when it comes to the end of a song? Like, how do you know that it's the end? Or do you just keep tweaking and tweaking? Like, 3 weeks later, you're like, okay, this is the end. And then, you know, you just keep going on, you know? How do you know when it's the end?
Well, I can't remember who coined the phrase, art is never complete, it's merely abandoned.
Oh, uh-huh.
So you can work on a song over and over and over again and still not think it's done, but at some point, you gotta say,
I know,
"Uncle."
Right? Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
I don't know. Like, I've also heard my friend Mary Cutrafello said something like, "A songwriter sits in with a thesaurus and a stopwatch."
Really.
That's a good one.
You know, because songs, whatever the rule is, there's no rule, but everyone says, it's got to be under 4 minutes or whatever if it's going to be on radio or if it's going to be a hit, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, Courtney, you sing a lot of songs, you know, from your heart, and I know you do too, Joe, and from personal experiences. So what is it like when someone comes up to you and maybe you had written a song about maybe a family member or something happening to you, and then someone comes up and goes, "Oh, my God, that song just hit me, you know, like that really touched me." I mean, that's got to be the coolest thing, because maybe it meant something for you, but something completely different for them.
Yeah, that's really true. I think that at arrogant moments in my life, I've been mad. Like, you don't even know what that song's about. Just shut up.
Yeah, really, right?
That's such a weird response. I know that's so evil of me. So I've gotten a lot better at being like, okay, it's about that for you. And I love that for you. And I love that for me. I love that for both of us. I love that for the song. And I've learned a lot better to let go of it. And I used to really feel strongly about, I'm going to tell you what my song is about, and you do not get to say anything. I don't know. That was just you know, me. That was just me, and not me having to let go of some ideas about what other people, how you share what you've created.
Yeah, because then that creates a new memory for those people.
Totally.
And then, you know, 20 years from now, they'll be like, oh, that song, you know, I remember when, you know. And I mean, that's got to be the coolest, you know, feeling ever.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple in Minneapolis, and they were like very sort of goth young couple. And they came up to me at a show, and the song, they came up and they said, "You have this song called Survival Time." And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "We listened to it one night in our car 20 times. And I was like, "Okay, there's something wrong with that. Like, you need to go to therapy or something, because that is like a really depressing song."
Really?
Yeah. And I see, that was one of those times where I was just like, "Oh, that's so weird, you guys. That's That's weird.
Yeah.
But now I look back on that and I love it that they said that to me. And I love that they did that. I mean, it's so right. meaningful to me now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Joe, with you and your writing, I was reading about your last album and you kind of went away for a while to write it. And a bunch of like things in the news and personal things and everything came over you. And so, you know, and I'm sure it's like with you, Courtney, personal things really have a huge amount of, you know, factor in what you're writing.
Yes. Well, I'm finding the older I get, the more sappy I'm getting.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I'm writing more songs about my kids and my, you know, parents yeah. And my wife and things like that. And the way of the world, things going on in the world, I guess that's hard to ignore.
I guess that social issues is, you know, a big part of everything now.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, how can you really get around it? And if it comes to you, you know, then I guess that's what I'm saying, too. Like, Courtney, like when you're walking your dogs and everything, I mean, when it comes to you, you have to, like you say, just put it down right away or you'll forget.
I'll forget it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
me too.
And that's just crazy.
Although usually if it's that one line kind of thing, that stays with me, and I have forgotten everything else, mm-hmm. and then I'll think, well, that must be the
right.
one to work on.
Yeah, right. If it stays with you, then and you haven't, then you know it's something
it's
to really go after.
Right? It's like a miracle.
Have you guys ever had a song that you started writing, and then you put it away, and then it like it's only like half finished or something, and then all of a sudden, like 3 or 4 years later, like something comes to you and you're like, oh my God, that's the next part of
yeah,
the song.
All the time.
Really?
So, Joe, how long do you think it takes you to like make a song like that? Like how many years can go by?
I don't know about years, but definitely, okay. you know, I've started a song, shelved it, and 6 months later revisited it or a year later.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's not always like that, but. But then some songs just write themselves, you know. It's like 30 minutes, and like, oh, I think I'm done.
Yeah, right.
I know. That doesn't happen often, though.
I know, because I was going to say this songwriting series, you know, I kind of put a tag on here where every song has a story and every story finds a song, which is...
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, it's true, because everybody has a story, and... I'm sure maybe you guys, and maybe I'm wrong, but if you see somebody else having a problem or going through something hard or having something, I mean, does that inspire you guys to write a song about something? By looking at somebody else and saying, oh, they're going through a rough time now with this or that, and then something will come to you about them, or is it mostly about...
You mean like you know, just somebody in your life?
Or? Yeah, somebody in your life, you know. And then you can say, oh, wow, you know, I could write a song about, you know, what they're going through or
what
something
think,
like that.
What do you think, Joe? Do you do that?
I think I probably more write from my own experiences, but I try to put myself into other people's shoes.
Yeah, because something may just happen
right.
and you'd be like, oh, my gosh, you know, that could be a song.
It's making me think about a funny thing that is that, I've been the artist in residence for the Listening Point Foundation this year, which is the nature writer Sigurd Olsen's legacy, who he was a great writer in like the 50s and 60s about conservation, stuff like that. Mm. And so because I'm the artist in residence for the year, I'm making this new album, and I've played a couple of the songs for people on the board of the organization. And one of the songs in particular... The board members ended up saying, oh my gosh, you've written such a great song about Sigurd Olsen and how he felt about his writing.
Mm.
And I didn't. I wrote a song about me and my writing. And
right.
then I kind of like, as it was, so hello, board members of the Listening Point Foundation, if you're out there listening, I'm spilling
yeah,
the beans
oh
here.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like, yeah,
uh-huh.
definitely. Let's go with that.
But yeah, right. What are you supposed to say?
It definitely was my song about me and my writing, but I've enjoyed thinking about it. I've loosened up the reins about stuff like that, and I've enjoyed thinking that's wonderful that
yes.
they could also relate to it as a song about their literary hero.
Uh-huh. Definitely. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that really is amazing, isn't it? Just kind of what we were talking about before, you know? It's just how a song will take on a life of its own in something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's unbelievable. Now, Courtney, I know you've been a Dylan fan, or Dylan. What would you call yourself? Dylan inspired? Dylan.
You know that I have my Bob Dylan t-shirt on.
Right. So yeah, yeah, your Bob Dylan hat.
I ran away from home from Chicago to northern Minnesota when I was 17. My family was falling apart anyway. I really sort of had to go. And I lived up in my grandpa's cabin that was deserted. It was on footings. It was built in 1910.
Oh, my goodness.
I stayed up there the whole winter by myself. And the kids in the town, I was already a singer-songwriter. I was already carrying my guitar around everywhere. But I didn't know very much about Bob Dylan. And so I was a senior in high school, and I went to the school in the town of Tower and graduated from there. And during that winter, the kids in the town educated me on the importance of Bob Dylan. And I took it to heart. They gave me these cassettes that had masking tape that just said Dylan. And they were like, you gotta listen to this. And I didn't even know what albums I was listening to. I didn't know who Bob Dylan was. I didn't know how old he was. I was from Chicago. I had been listening to more like Cat Stevens and Joni Mitchell and Carole King, stuff like that. I didn't really know anything. And I knew about Lay Lady Lay, and I didn't like that song. So I thought, I don't like that guy, Bob Dylan. But then I loved the things that these kids gave me. And I listened to them in that cabin on this old dictation machine, my grandpa's, and I became obsessed with the sound of some of Bob Dylan's recordings and the sound of his voice. And I found it to be sort of encouraging and liberating that he seemed to be so alone and so seemed to be expressing such sort of lonely individuality. And I was in that cabin by myself, so I just connected with it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, it's just, it's great that you can have something like that to look back on and say, okay, well, that was a point where, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of put me on my path.
It did.
You know.
And then I fell off the path a million times.
Right, but, exactly. And that's life.
But I climbed back up
every time. Well, right now we are going to hear a Bob Dylan song. And afterwards we are going to hear Courtney sing a beautiful song as usual right here on our new show, Sunday Songwriter Showcase on KFAI.
Someone's got it in for me. They're planting stories in the press. Whoever it is, I wish they cut it out quick. But when they will, I can only guess. They say I shot a man named Gray and took his wife to Italy. She inherited $1 billion, and when she died, it came to me. I can't help it if I'm lucky. People see me all the time, and they just can't remember how to act. Their minds are filled with big ideas, images, and distorted facts. Even you, yesterday, you had to ask me where it was at. I couldn't believe after all these years, you didn't know me any better than that. Yeah, the time you moved your mind.
old chestnut mare shoot through my head, and I'm making me see stars. You hurt the words that I love best and cover up the truth with lies. One day you'll be in the ditch, flies buzzing around your eyes, blood on your saddle. Yeah, wind blowing through the flowers on your tomb, blowing through the curtains in your room. Yeah, wind blowing every time you move your teeth.
Okay, so I'm Courtney Asmine, and we were just listening to one of my favorite Bob Dylan songs currently. It's from the Planet Waves album. It's called Idiot Wind. And what I wanted to say about it is that it's the only Bob Dylan song that I learned in its entirety this year in 2025 because I just liked how passionate that song is. I've always liked how passionate that song is. And I thought, I'm writing a new album right now. I want to get closer to that kind of feeling that I've always loved in that specific song of his. So I just learned the heck out of it.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
It has like eight different sort of verses and four different sort of choruses. And at one point, I spoke with my oldest daughter, who is producing my new album. She and I have never worked together on an album before. She goes by Nina Luna. She's a professional artist herself. And I told her, like, I just learned this whole Idiot Wind Bob Dylan song because I just really want to, like, feel like that. And she said, are you going to play it at your next show? And I said, no, you can't play that song anywhere. You can't play it at a show. And she said, Mom, you just memorized eight verses and four different choruses, and you're telling me you're never going to play it anywhere? And I was like, you just can't. It's like vindictive. It's like you're yelling the whole time. By the end, you're just sweating and yelling.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I I think I have played it at a couple house concerts since then, but it's anyway, that's why we played it just now, is because the passion of that song is just, I don't know, like a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
I mean, okay, just to touch on that, how long did it take you to learn that? That is a complicated song.
It took the whole year.
The whole year.
I mean, it's honestly been taking me the whole time, and every once in a while I can play it all the way through without any errors, and it blows my own mind.
Right, right.
And,
I hope you're
taking it. You know, it like wards off dementia or something. Like, learn Idiot Wind, and you will never be... You will never be senile or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So. So I've been working on this new album. I can't come close to that type of thing that Bob Dylan did with Idiot Wind, but I have to do what I can do, you know, and speak about what matters to me. And in this program already this morning, I mentioned that there's a song that I wrote about my own feelings right now about writing, about being an artist, and then the people on the board of this organization that I'm the artist in residence for, the Listening Point Foundation out of Ely, Minnesota, there was a comment that this song seemed like it was about their great literary hero, Sigurd Olsen, and I can see that in this, but I wrote it for me. Call it home. You were meant to rise. You were meant to be left alone. With your books and your papers, praying to your maker. Please, God, send me a sign. Send me an angel. Is it all so beautiful now? Is it all so beautiful now? Is it all so beautiful now? Or have you gone insane? Take your time, take it slow. You were meant to be a rolling stone. Every path you take leads you closer to your wild unknown. What have you done to your brain? Have you finally filtered out all the pain? Do the Northwoods look like picture postcards? The cities look like Paris in the rain? Is it all so beautiful now? Is it all so beautiful now? Is it all so beautiful now? Or are you finally sane? Is it all so beautiful now? Gone stark raving mad, or are you finally asleep? Hang your hat anywhere and call it home.
Oh, that is great, Courtney. All right. Beautiful. Oh my gosh.
World premiere.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's going to be on your new album coming up in 2020. Do you have a name for it yet?
Yeah, I might sing the other, if I get a chance to sing two songs today, I might sing the title. I think the title of it is Postcards from the Great North Woods.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because of the whole thing about doing the Listening Point Foundation this whole year. That there's sort of like arrows pointing to that. And of course, the Great North Woods that I speak of is the area where Bob Dylan grew up. So it all kind of comes together, I guess.
And you're up there a lot.
I've been up there a lot doing shows.
Right.
And also doing these different creative things for this Listening Point Foundation experience I've had.
Sure. Before we get into Joe, because we're going to listen to you in here in a few minutes.
Hey, Joe.
Now, you guys have known each other for a while. Have you ever collaborated on anything or thought about it?
We've never collaborated.
Really?
It's more like just crossing paths kind of every now and then.
But I feel like there was some time where we were going to do something, or...
Did we...
Right,
there was a thing. Yeah. We both played for a fundraiser for KFAI at Plums. Remember that?
I remember Plums. It was a long time. I was there. Yeah,
really?
Years ago.
That's for the live from studio fund.
And did that? I don't know. I feel like I've had people say to me, like, "You should have Joe Carey. You should get in touch with Joe Carey. You should have Joe Carey collaborate with you, or you should."
Maybe Rob?
So I feel that's we're talking about Rob Genetic, the
right.
great producer in Minneapolis here who produced 7 of my albums.
Is that who's doing the new one? Or your daughter?
No, my daughter, Nina Luna, is doing
great.
It.
She's another great artist I'd love to have on the show.
Is,
yeah,
she's wonderful.
Definitely.
And my last album, I did it as a solo acoustic thing in a church. And I didn't really use a producer because I used a little production team of really great guys headed by John Estrom. Thank you, John, so much for that. And that's what I did for the last album. And then this one's this. Anyway, I think you and I, Joe, there have been opportunities that were sort of thrown out to us, like maybe you guys should play this together or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I wanted to mention also, of course, we are here today with Courtney Yasmine and Joe Carey. Thank you guys so much for joining us
Thanks
on our debut
us.
Show.
Thank you.
And, you know, I know you guys because I interviewed you when I was the host of Live from Studio 5 all those years ago.
Yeah.
And I met so many wonderful people and artists and great people that have just continued to make beautiful music. I mean, I'm going to say it's probably like 12 or 13 years ago already that I interviewed you guys when I was, you know, on Live from 5. So I kind of think of this as like a mini version. You know, you got to almost think about that. So I think it's great. And so we were talking about collaboration. Is it hard for you guys to collaborate? Like, is it like, do you ever say, well, I want to write the music and I want to write the lyrics? Or, you know, how does that work dynamically, really?
Well,
if you're not used to it.
Well, first of all, do you collaborate with people very often?
No. I guess I found nobody's ever asked me before, so I just assumed nobody wanted to.
Here's
so
a new one. Maybe someone will. Yeah, right? Yeah.
But I would, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And if you did, would you do it the way Cher is saying? Write the music and somebody else write the lyrics, or other way around, or anything like that? What would you do?
Sit down and see what happens, you know?
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Wing it, you know.
Maybe next time in a couple of shows from now, you guys can come back with a collaborated song.
I'm not making any promises, but we could.
Right? How much time do we have?
That's a very big promise tonight.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, now, Joe, speaking of you, now, your influence, you were saying, was Neil Young. Now, do you guys like to use the word influence? I wish kind of there was another word you could use besides influence, because
inspiration
would be good.
Works.
Something, because to me, after you keep saying influence for too long, it just sounds too generic, I guess, or something about it doesn't sound real personal, you know?
Right.
So I always try to think of, you know, like, what word could you use besides that? Well, okay, like inspired. Okay, so maybe Neil Young inspired you. It's a good.
Yes. It was. When you asked me earlier in the week to come up with one artist, that was going to be tough. I've always told people, though, I narrowed it down to Neil, Cat Stevens, like you mentioned, and the band, specifically Levon Helm.
Yeah. Oh, I love Levon Helm. Yeah.
And those three, if they. When Levon was still alive, if they all could have formed a super group, that would have been
the best.
You know, that was amazing. But that's not to say, like, I wouldn't say I try to sound like Neil Young, but
well,
it's more the attitude and the
right,
just his, because you're not, Neil's not conforming to anybody.
He
is who he is. He knows who he is, and he does what he wants. And if you don't like it, he doesn't care.
Right.
And we were talking, we were texting earlier in the week about Farm Aid.
Yeah, Dylan and him were there.
He just came out swinging.
He did.
Awesome. Yeah. Also, I always love that, I don't know when it was found, but there's some video where some fan in the audience is saying, come on, like, play this one or whatever, like, hassling him.
Yeah.
And he goes, I work for me, buddy.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Neil Young.
Oh, my gosh.
But also, there's, like, kind of two Neil Youngs musically. There's the folky stuff, like, you know, Old Man and, you know, songs like that. And then there's the guns blazing, just rock in your face songs. You know, that's what another thing I like about him is he does both.
Sure. All right, well, what song are we going to listen to from Neil Young before you go into your song?
Did we decide on Ohio?
I think Ohio, okay.
Awesome.
And here we are with Neil Young and with Ohio. And our guest today is Courtney Yasmine and Joe Carey. All right, I got my headphones on and I'm set here. Okay, well, that, of course, was Neil Young with Ohio. Ohio. And gotta get that right. And we were talking to Joe beforehand, and we were talking how he kind of inspired not, you know, only his music, but his attitude, his thoughts, his beliefs, and everything. And, you know, Joe kind of took that on his journey of songwriting. Per se, is that correct?
Yeah. I I write maybe there's a handful of love songs that I write. Other than that, there's plenty of love songs out there.
Yeah.
You know, and there's plenty of breakup songs out there. So what else is there? You know, like I said, I write songs about my life, my kids, stuff like that, but stuff I see that's going on in the world.
Sure, sure.
And I think I kind of took that from Neil Young. Maybe not purposely, but it just kind of rubbed off on me that way.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to hear your song, and this is going to be on your new album coming out, or the one
you... Yeah, I you know... We're in the middle of selling a house right now, so it's
yeah.
One of these days we're gonna record a new album, and this one will be on it for sure.
But you keep writing in the process.
Oh yeah,
I mean
I already have the songs. I just don't have the money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I was gonna say even with you, Courtney, too, you got probably a block of songs that you just keep writing. It's nothing that ever really stops with you.
Right.
Just keeps going. Okay, well, here we are.
So this song is called Splintered Path, and it's kind of a commentary on what I see right now going on in the world.
Mm. So. All right, Joe Carey.
I'm going to try to finger pick this one. I hope my fingers are awake enough.
Right.
All right. Might come as a surprise, but I don't hate you. Never was my intention to berate you. I guess I should extend some kind of olive branch, but that time's past. As kids, we all walk the same footprints as our mamas and our dads, and there's before them. We found a common ground and we were good with that, but the path splintered and withered away. It withered away. Now I was standing face to face on the fault line. I look down, see you stepping on a landmine. I try to scream, but you look at me with daggers in your eyes, and I'm tongue-tied. So thoughts run through my head and I'm torn. Do I shoot for a truce or brace for the storm? I don't know, I don't know, I don't know anymore. What's left to say? What's left to say? Hey. Have written off the clergy and the scholars and the judges and the generals and forefathers for a promise of the almighty dollar or some deal you think you made. So I wonder, do you question your decision? Though I know you won't seek to be forgiven. When the truth, plain as day, can be deemed as fake, well, there's no sin to forgive anyway. So what's left to say? Hey, I guess it's time we go our own way. And hope to live another day. Hey. Hey.
It's just another day. United States. Thank you.
Definitely. Oh my gosh, and we have a studio audience. My friend Ted from Chicago's here.
Yay.
Yay. He's also a singer, not a songwriter though, but I know he's enjoying the music and the artmanship here in the studio this morning.
Great song.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. Really great.
Thanks.
And now, where did that come from? Because we're speaking of songwriting. I mean, is that too personal to talk about?
No, I could talk about it. I don't want to get too.
You don't have to.
It's you grow up with people. You're friends with people for years and years and years in your life, and
yeah, it was beautiful.
Politicians
really,
come and go.
Yeah, right.
The pendulum swings, but in my lifetime, I've never seen it like it is now, as divided as it is. And I guess I don't know. It's kind of how do I sum it up in just one little?
Well, it's beautiful, really.
Yeah, definitely.
I am thinking of something that I don't think of this very often, but I'm going to throw it in as just part of this topic. That when I was on tour in Ireland, at one point I had brought backing players from Minneapolis. Guys, all gentlemen with me to play backup. And we were in Dublin. We were in a pub. And I thought that I was having an interesting conversation with a local regular guy at the pub. And I was saying, so what has that been like? Like, should we try to go? This was maybe 8 years ago, I would say. Oh. Should we try to go into Northern Ireland? Should we try to go to Belfast? Should we just stay here? And he mentioned a couple of things. And then I asked him more questions. Like, well, so is it still a big deal? And the guy said to me, look, lady, you're going to get your guys beat up if you don't quit talking about the troubles.
Oh, really?
And I was so shocked.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know that it was that potent and controversial mm-hmm. at that point in their history. And it just, at the time, I knew nothing like that really in my own country.
Yeah.
Now I feel that we as Americans can relate to stories like that a little bit more.
Oh, yes. Definitely. One more question, then maybe we can get one more song each out of them.
Yay.
Okay. Say you guys are playing with a band and then, you know, it's your song. And how do you relate that to the band to make it, you know what I mean, to get them to play it the way you want it to be played?
All right, Joe, what do you say
Is
about
that? Crazy?
How do you get the band to play what you want them to play?
Well, your song. How, you know, if you're like, well, that's not how I wrote it. Like Courtney, you were saying, oh, that's not how I want to play it. You know what I mean? Is that a process you have to do?
It depends on if you have your own formed band already, or if you're hiring musicians to play for the record.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
usually if you have a formed band already,
uh-huh.
then yeah, everyone's gonna want to weigh in.
Right. Right.
But if it's like you're recording an album and you hire people to play, then it's kind of. They already know that it's your show, you know.
Yeah, right.
And they'll listen to you. They might say, I think it should go here, you know. And then it's up to you to shoot that idea down or run with it. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
And I guess what I would add to that as a female who's been doing this for 30 years, I would add that the bossy men would have so strong opinions sometimes when I did just want them to play it the way I wanted them to. And I, at that time, and the way I was raised, I've had to sort of relearn those cultural things about I don't have to defer to a male music producer or the lead guitarist who's a professional guitarist when I am not, that sort of thing. I used to really defer to the professionals and to professional males. At that time, particularly, there were, most of the people in the studio situations were men.
Right.
And you just, I felt like I didn't understand how to navigate it. And one last thing to say about it is that I always have felt that I should explain what the song's about, how much the song means to me.
Exactly.
And you can just watch the people's eyes glaze over. Okay, just what are the chords? Just what are the chords?
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
like,
my gosh.
We don't care what the song is about. We just need to know the groove, and that's really all we need to know.
Exactly.
And we'll pick up on the emotion. Yeah. And we don't need you to explain your whole life story from kindergarten on up to, to be able to play this song with you.
But also, there's an element of letting the players, like trusting them to do what they do best. Like, we've both worked with Nick Salisbury, bass player.
Yeah.
If he comes up with an idea, it's usually pretty damn good.
Exactly.
I'm never going to tell him how to play bass.
Yeah, right.
No, exactly. And nor would I ever tell, honestly, anyone how to play on my song. I really, it's not that. Mm-hmm. For me, it would only be that I wanted to explain how much the song means to me before we would play it, because to me, that's what it was all about. And I had to be sort of disabused of the idea that the musicians need to understand just how much this all means to me all the time.
Exactly.
And that they can still do a beautiful job. They can just pick up on the song in process.
Yeah, the way you meant it. Well, I think, gosh, we are winding down here, but I think we have maybe a few minutes to have a quick song from Courtney and a quick song from you. Not quick, but you know what I mean.
Right.
We got about, we got about 8 minutes left.
Am I going?
Sure, yes. We'll hear one from you and one from Joe.
Am I going to say anything about this? This is, so it's going to be on the brand new album, and there's a romantic element happening in my world, and so here's this. Steven, you are breaking me like the wild horse I am. I've been all around this crazy dreaming. I can hardly stand. Take all of these broken parts and put us back together. But that cowboy's weak, that cowboy's wild, that cowboy tried to make all the pain go away. And in the middle of the night, I got a message back from a ship out on a distant ocean. Giddy up, cowgirl. Ride the range. Take all of your broken parts. Pull yourself together. Giddy up, cowgirl. Ride the range. I ain't leaving and this ain't over. I'm tired of wishing on a four-leaf clover. You gotta make your own luck when the rodeo comes to town. Wrong for me to get my head around. Take all of these broken parts and put us back together. But that cowboy's weak, that cowboy's wild, that cowboy trying to make all the pain go away. And in the middle of the night, I got a message back from a ship out on a distant ocean. Cowgirl, ride the range.
all for granted. I have known your heart like the back of my hand, and I won't walk away, walk away. I've been wanting to get the bit in my teeth, and I've been wanting to take it all for granted. I have known your heart like the back of my hand, and I won't walk away, walk away. Giddy up, cowgirl, try the reins. Took all of your broken parts, pour yourself to heaven. Giddy up, cowgirl, try the reins. I ain't leaving in the saint over. I'm tired of wishing on a four-leaf clover. You gotta make your own luck when the rodeo comes to town. Breaking me like the wild horse I am.
Yeah. Great. Another song off of Courtney's upcoming 2026 album.
Yay.
Another great song. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for that, for sure. I know people will be anticipating that, you know, hearing that, so that's wonderful.
Thank you. And, thanks for letting me do that.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I'm going to thank everybody, and then we'll go into Joe. And, again, I would like to thank Courtney Yasmine and Joe Carey for coming in for our debut segment. We're going to have different series of these throughout the year.
So cool.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, for people that can't get out to see the songwriters now, it's a great chance for people to hear them on the radio here. So it's a great series. And we just want to thank everybody. And thank you, Pam, of course, as usual, for being here. And I am Cher Dial. And we enjoyed everything about today, the music, the stories, and everything about it.
And Cher, you are really a great interviewer. I've always appreciated that so much about you.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank
I wanted
you.
To say that so you know that.
Oh,
it's
well,
really
thank
great
you.
That,
that
you're
means
so
a lot.
Good at it.
Oh, that means a lot. Okay. Well, Joe, you want to take us out of it?
Yeah, I'll do a short version
hey,
of
Joe.
We were talking
yeah,
about,
hey,
we were talking about Ireland. So this song is called The Vagabond Bastard Song.
Okay.
Congrats on the new show, by the way.
Oh, Cher. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Courtney, for that.
Here's a tip of the glass to the vagabond bastard souls who are fueled by the fire within without a damn bit of gold. Well, I've been used and accused of running from the pain. So tonight I'm calling out to those who are cast aside. And we'll strum our guitars like the wings of a bird. And we'll stomp on the floor like a stampeding herd. We may clutter our heads and we may muddle our words. Oh, but with a clamorous conviction our anthem is heard. Albeit absurd. Oh,